Today's Shi'ez Masecht Menachos Daf Lamed Zayin. We will begin in Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Tana Rabbanan Yotcha, so small. From here, we know that the tefillin should be put on the left hand. At the time is small, is it indeed put on the left hand, Oyen El Yamin, or could even be the right hand, or perhaps only the right hand? And as the Achroinim debate, clearly the Halacha is the tefillin should be put on the left hand. What would be if somebody puts it on the right hand? Mishnah Berurah seems to say that it would not be kosher even by the Eved. There are other Achroinim that debate that. And maybe as we get into the Shia, we'll see what that Machloikis is built, based on. Tam Laim, the Pasuk says, Af Yodi Yozda Oretz, V'yamini Topcha Shemayim. So we see there's a Yodi and there's a Yamini. And the Yamini is not the Yodi. So when the Torah uses the words Yod, it must be the small. Vimer, and there's another pasuk. The pasuk says Yoda. There's a pasuk by Yael, who was the one that killed Sisroi. And the pasuk says Yoda leYesa tishalachna v'yamina lehalmois amelim. So again, her hand, the yad, touched the peg. The yamin touched the hammer. And we see there's two separate things: the yad and the yamin. And the yad is left. Vimer, and there's another pasuk in Tehillim. Lamas tashiv yotcha. Interesting to point out that the Achroinim ask, usually when the Gemara does this and it quotes a number of psukim, the Gemara asks, my Vaimer, why do you have to keep on repeating the pasuk? Here, our Gemara doesn't keep on ask that question. The Achroinim want to understand why. So I saw that the Achroinim say as follows. The first pasuk of Af Yodi Yozdei Oretz refers to Hashem. So one could suggest that only Hashem is like that, but not anyone else. That's why we have the next pasuk of Yodai Liyasa Tishalachna, which is talking about people. But then the question remains, why do we need the third pasuk? And in fact, there are certain gersos that have the third pasuk omitted because of that. Rabbi Yosef Achayrim, Rashi says, why was he called Yosef Achayrim? Rabbi Yosef Achayrim, because the bridge of his nose was sunken in. Tosfos takes exception to that, because it would be inappropriate to ridicule someone, and therefore Tosfos says he came from the place called Chayrim. I saw other Rishonim suggest there's a Gemara Masechta Bechayris that discusses what is considered a mum by an animal, and Rabbi Yossi says that an animal with a nose that's disformed is a deficiency. That's why he's called. So he's going back to that Gemara. Mitzinu Yamin Shinikru Yad. We do have a precedent where the yamin is used, the yad means the yad yamin. Shenemar, we all remember when Yaakov benched Ephraim and Menashe, and he switched his hands, and he put the right hand on Ephraim, and the pasuk says, V'yad Yosef, ki yoshes oviv yad yaminoi, they put his hand on Ephraim, and the pasuk uses the word yad by the yamin. V'idach, how did the Rabbanan respond to that? Yad Yaminoi Ikri. It's called Yad Yaminoi. Yad Stam Lo Ikri. It's not called Yad. So the Yad alone is the small. How does Rabbi Yosef Achayim respond? So the way the Rishonim explain is as follows. The pasuk continues. It says, V'yismach Yosef supported Yad Oviv. It doesn't say Yad Yaminoi. So Rabbi Yosef Achayim says, you see that the word Yad is used even without Yamin. So Yad can mean the right hand. The Rabbanan say there isn't a raya, because the pasuk already said Yad Yaminoi. So the pasuk doesn't have to always repeat Yad Yamin. We're going back to the beginning when the pasuk used the word Yad Yaminoi. So we don't have, according to them, a place where the word Yad means Yamin. We don't know which hand. Remnasa Aima Enutzarach. We have a different raya, how we know that it means the left hand. Harayu Oimer, because the Torah says, Ukshartem uksaftem. The Torah puts together the kshira of the tefillin, the ksiva of the tefillin. Ma ksiva b'yamin, just like the writing is b'yamin, af kshira b'yamin. The kivin, the kshira b'yamin, if you're going to tie the tefillin b'yamin, hanocha must be that the tefillin is put on the left hand. That's how you could tie them on. Say the mefarshim, based on this gemara, they were comparing the kshira to the ksiva, and the Gemara is saying the ksiva should be yamin. This is the basis for the halacha that a sofer has to be right-handed. Because the Gemara is saying that the ksiva has to be biyamin. So we see that ksiva stam has to be done strictly by somebody who's writing with the right hand. Furthermore, if we see that the Torah is comparing the kshira to the ksiva, just like not everybody is qualified to be a cipher, so too perhaps the Paiskim they want to suggest that not everybody is qualified to be a kosher. And somebody who themselves are not mechuyev in tefillin, a woman or a non-Jew, cannot put on tefillin on someone who is unable to put on tefillin himself. Rav Yosef Chayrim, Hanacha the small manolei. How does Rav Yosef Chayrim know that tefillin is put on the left hand? As the Mefarshim explained, he could learn it from Rav Nosson. Nafklei mehechda nafklei Rav Nosson. He learns it from Rav Nosson. Or he could learn it as Rav Ashi learned it. He learned that the Torah, when it speaks about tefillin, yotcha ksibihei, to teach us the keho, the white, the weak hand. Amalei rabbele Rav Ashi. Maybe the way to understand the pasuk is the opposite. Ve'me yotchish bekoyach, your strong hand. Amalei miksiv beches. If the Torah meant the strong hand, it would have written it in the male form. The fact that the Torah used the female yotcha is a proof that it means the weaker hand. Ketanoi. So before we go further, we've learned in our shir three different sources how we know that yad means the left hand. The first shita, which Rabbi Yosef Chayrim challenged, is that yad always means left. The other shita was that we compare kshira to ksiva. And the other shita was because yadcha means the weak hand. And as the Rishonim and the Achronim all point out, there's a nafkamina and halacha, which is the way we learn that you should put the tefillin on the left hand. Because if we're learning it, comparing it to ksiva, so then we have to look at the person, what hand does he write with? So if a person writes with his right hand, then he puts the tefillin on the left hand. But if he writes with the left hand, he'll put on the tefillin on the right hand. If we however learn the way Rav Ashi learned it, that we learn it from the weaker hand, so it isn't dependent strictly on writing. It depends on which is the stronger hand and which is the weaker hand. So what would be the nafkamina lahalocha? Let's say you have an individual that writes with one hand and he does everything else with another hand. What hand should he put the tefillin on? The Shulchan Aruch brings two opinions. One, he brings both opinions. One opinion is he says you look at the stronger versus the weaker. And another sheet he says you look at the hand that you write on. The Gra follow the stronger and weaker. A lot of other pious can follow the hand that you write with. In fact, when we speak about writing, there are pious can that say, what does writing mean? Does it mean writing anything, or maybe only writing Hebrew? Because there is a concept, there is a sheet, I think we've mentioned this, that on Shabbos, ksiva is a malacha, but there's a sheet, it's rishayim, only ksiva of Lashon Kodesh. So it could be for here too, ksiva means ksiva of Lashon Kodesh. But the question that comes up quite often, nowadays less, but in former times, where being left-handed was considered a problem, a deficiency, so they used to force children to write with the right hand, even though they were naturally left-handed. What is the halacha with such an individual? It's the opinion I saw of most Paiskim. It's the opinion of most Paiskim that we look at the reality. And if the person writes with the right hand, it doesn't make a difference if that's the way he always was, or that's the way he got trained into doing, that person is considered a right-handed individual. So interesting concept from the Shevet Alevi. He says that if you see a person writes with the right hand, even though he wasn't doing so by himself naturally, he was sort of forced into it, if he really couldn't write with the right hand, nothing could force him. So we see that he could write with the right hand, it's a proof that he is indeed a right-handed individual. Dogam Ravava says, this entire discussion, if somebody was or is a right-handed or left-handed because he trained, is only in such a case. But let's say you'll have a situation, Rahman al-Utslan, that a person, let's say, is a stroke victim. And his entire life he wrote with the right hand. And then he never had a stroke. And now his right hand is paralyzed. So now he writes with the left hand. Such an individual, says the says the Noid Behud in the Dogel Mavava, certainly would be considered a left-handed individual and should put on the tefillin on the right hand. Says the Gemara, this question, how to learn the word Yotcha, is actually the subject of a Machloikus Tanoim. Ketanoi, Yotcha Buchei, Suz B'Smol, it means the left hand. Achem Raimrim, Yotcha L'Rabbis Esagidim. It comes to include somebody who's missing a hand that is Mechuyiv in Tefillin. And we're going to discuss this more in a moment. Tan Yidoch, Ein Lo Yizroya, if he doesn't have a hand, Potem in a Tefillin. Achem Raimrim, Yotcha L'Rabbis Esagidim, that he is Mechuyiv in Tefillin. So Pasha Pshat in this Braisa, and that's the way the Shita learns, and the Azarua learns, that there's a Machlaikis. If somebody is missing a hand, what should he do? And the first Shita holds that he's Potter, and the second Shita holds that he's Chayiv. However, Taisvis, and this is the Halacha, says there's really no Machlaikis. And it's talking about two different situations. Taisvis says as follows. If Rachman Litzlan, somebody is missing the lower part of, is missing his entire left hand. Somebody is missing his entire left hand, he shouldn't wear tefillin. He's not mechuyev in tefillin. If he's only missing the lower part of his left hand, he should wear tefillin, and should wear tefillin on the upper part, on the stump that's left over. Certainly, this is very much in line with what the Dogel Mavava said, if Rachman al-Tzlan, somebody's missing his entire right hand, so then he should put on tefillin on the left hand. And if somebody's missing, he has his entire left hand, and he's missing the bottom part of his right hand, he puts on the tefillin on the upper part of the right hand. Also very famous, Shagas Aryeh asked the question, if a person is potter from wearing tefillin, we just mentioned a number of situations, potter wearing tefillin shel yad, should he wear tefillin shel rosh? Even though we learned, and that's how we got into this whole sugya, that tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh represent two separate mitzvahs, it could well be, discussed with the Shagas Aryeh, the only person who's mechuyev to wear tefillin shel rosh is if he's possible to wear tefillin shel yad. La'alochi, he comes out, that if somebody, Rechman Tzlan, can't wear tefillin shel yad, he should still wear tefillin shel rosh. Tarambana iter, a person who's left-handed, me'niach tefillin b'yaminoi, he should put on tefillin on his right hand, Shu smiley, because for him the right hand is the left. Ask the Gemara for Tanya, have we learned in a different braisa, mnich b'smiley, shu smol shekolodom, put it on his left hand. Amr Abaya, ki Tanya hi b'shal b'shtei yodav. Somebody who's ambidextrous should put it on the left hand. Only someone who's purely left-handed, we spoke a few minutes ago what that means, should put it on the right hand. Tana Rabbanan, Tana Dvei Menasha, Ayotcha, when we speak about the tefillin shiyad, zu kibayris. It should be put on the upper part of the hand, by the biceps. That's on the scalp, on the skull. Heicha, exactly where. Amid bei Reb Yanai, makom shemoicha shel tinek roifus. The place where it's soft, where the skull of a child is soft. Very big machloikus achroinim. It seems from the Mishnah Brura that this spot is a very small spot. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says, number one, a person should be careful not to have tefillin which are too large, because then he's going to have the tefillin protruding from the right place. And furthermore, says the Mishnah Berurah, you have to try to be very careful to make sure that the tefillin are on the exact spot. Because the Mishnah Berurah says, if any part of the tefillin are not in the right spot, you're not putting on tefillin properly. There's a tshuva from the Rechaim. It's actually the first tshuva in the Shalos Tshuvos, the Rechaim, where the Rechaim takes a very different approach. The tshuva is actually written to a different question. The tshuva is it appropriate to have a mirror in your tefillin bag to make sure that you have the tefillin on the right place? Divrei Chaim says there's no need, and he says you shouldn't have it. Al Gemara is speaking about the specific location where the tefillin should be put. He says that actually the area is much larger than we think, and therefore even if you don't have it in the exact spot right between your eyes, you're still mekayim the mitzvah, and therefore you don't have to be so concerned and have a mirror. Barminei plimim rebi, mishayesh le'reish shtei roshim. We begin a fascinating Gemara. Plimai came and asked Rebbe the following question, and what will be if somebody has two heads? Beis me'minich tefillin. Where should he wear, on which head should he put on the tefillin? And as the Rishonim and Achroinim help us understand the Gemara, the Beis Yitzchak says in a tshuva, let's say, and this Rechman Tzlan could happen, somebody has two orlas. There's no question that both orlas must be removed. Because until all of the arlos are removed, the person is an arl. Here, say the Rishonim, since by tefillin we found that the tefillin shel yad are only put on the left hand, it may be that the tefillin shel rosh, if somebody has two heads, should be put on the left head. Amalei, so Rebbe got offended with this question, and he said, "I kum gali, either go into galus, I kebelach shamta, or go into cherim, take accept upon yourself a cherim for asking this inappropriate question." But it's interesting to note, Tosfos quotes a fascinating medrash. Tosfos quotes that Ashmedai, who was the king of the Shadim, once came to Shlomo HaMelech with the following situation. There was a person who had one body and two heads, got married, and had some children like him with one body and two heads, and had some children without two heads, only one head. And then this person passed away. The father passed away. And there was a dispute amongst the Yarshim that the Yarshim who had two heads felt that they deserved two portions because they're considered two separate people. So they came to Shlomo HaMelech what to do. And Shlomo HaMelech poured hot water on this person with the two heads, and both heads yelled in pain. So it's a proof that they're one person. So he said you only get one share. So how do we understand the Mefarshim trying to understand the fascinating Medrash? Try to understand, here we see that it happened in the time of Shlomo HaMelech. So why was Rebbe offended? So Tosfos says three words at the beginning of the Tosfos. It's the second to the bottom Tosfos. Tosfos says, "Ba'olam hazaleka." What does it mean, "Ba'olam hazaleka"? So some say that where they lived, where Plima and Rebbe lived, this didn't happen. It happened by Shlomo HaMelech. Another pshat is that the story never happened altogether. The Ashmedai wanted to test how smart Shlomo HaMelech was. So he came up with a hypothetical situation. What would you do with such a din Torah? And Shlomo HaMelech came up with a solution, but not that it's possible. Adahachi, while they're having this dialogue, Asahu Gavra, an individual came, Amalei Isyali Yanuka, I had a child, this Litrei Rashi. I had a child with two heads. As Mefarshim will explain, to show Rebbe that it could happen and you shouldn't be angry at Plimai. But there's a child's Tshuvas Fos Yaakov that makes a very important point. He says, we have to differentiate between the case of the Gemara that we're discussing, one child with two heads, versus Siamese twins. He says, Siamese twins means that you have two bodies that are just Rachman and Tzlan connected. That is very different than one body with two heads. Our Gemara is speaking strictly about one body with two heads. And the question that he asked was, is Yavla Yanuka, this Litrei Rashi, I have a child that has two heads. Kama bina l'meisel v'kayin. We know that when a Bechor is born, you have to give Chamash Shloim to the Kayin. How much do we have to give him? Asa Husaba. As we know throughout Shas, whenever it says Husaba, it means Eliyahu Navi. Tanalei, and he taught him, Chayv Lei Litin Yud Shloim. You have to give double the amount, Yud Shloim. Ask the Gemara, Eini, V'tan Rama B'chama, V'toich Shenemar. The Torah uses the words regarding a Bechor. Now let's say, this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara. Somebody has a child, and he's born a healthy child, and something happens to that child that he doesn't survive till he's 30 days old, that you shouldn't have to, does he or does he not have to be redeemed? That if he doesn't survive, there is no chiyuv pigeon. So the question is, somebody who's born with two heads cannot survive. So why is there a chiyuv pigeon? Answers the Gemara, Shani Hachay, the Gilgulis Tal Rachmana. Here the Torah uses regarding pigeon Gilgulis. So the child that's born with two heads, it has two chiyuv and pigeon. And as the Rishonim help us understand the Gemara, we're going to learn a Gemara Masechet Bechoros. The Gemara Masechet Bechoros says that let's say you have twins born. Two boys are born. And we don't know which is the Bechor. So how much do you have to give for Pinyan Aben? You only have to give Chamash Shloim. Because there's one that came out first, and there's one that came out second. We just don't know who was first and who was second. Here, where there's only one body, and the Torah says that the pinyan haben depends on gugoylus, they'll have to give 10 slum for the pinyan haben. Furthermore, interesting tshuv in the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says from here we see that if clamps were used, not a caesarean, but clamps were used to extract the child from the mother's womb, that the child will still be a pet derechem, because that's not considered chatzitza. Because if it would be considered chatzitza, so maybe the two heads should be considered chatzitza, one from the other. We see that tzeves, that's the halachic word, the Hebrew word, are not considered chatzitza. There's a beautiful vart. I saw it from the Tveris Yonason, Rabbi Yonason Eibeshitz, and from the Chassam Sofer. The Torah teaches us the parasha of counting the Levim and the counting the Yisraelim. But it's very interesting. When the Torah speaks about the Levim, the Torah uses the words L'Gugulaisam. When the Torah speaks about counting the Yisraelim, the Torah doesn't use the word L'Gugulaisam. And he asks, why? Why doesn't the Torah use the same word? So he says a beautiful pshat. Levim, we know, were counted when they were 30 days old. Upaduyov ben Chaydish. They were from ben Chaydish counted. The Yisraelim, how old were they when they got counted? 20 years old. So he says pshat like this. A Levi could taka be, you could taka have a situation that there's one Levi with two heads. And our Gemara is saying, L'gugulaisim, you count each head. A Yisrael is only counted when he's 20 years old. Our Gemara says that a person with one body and two heads won't survive. So there's no L'gugulaisim because there'll never be, by 20 years old, such a person. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Mar, Yotcha, we said that we're on the hand of the tefillin put by the kibayrus. Menolon, how do we know so? The Tana Rabbana, al Yotcha, Zugayva Shabiyad, on the higher part of the hand. At Oyma Zugayva Shabiyad, is it indeed in the higher part of the hand? Oyna El Yotcha Mamish, maybe on the palm? Answers the Gemara. Amar Taira, Hanach Tefillin Biyad, the Torah teaches us put tefillin Shabiyad, Vanach Tefillin Shabiraish. We have to put tefillin Shabiraish. Ma'ala Halim, by the tefillin Shabiraish, we put him Shabigoyva Shabiraish. Aftan, so to by the tefillin Shabiyad, it's put on the upper part of the hand. Rebbe Loza says, Enet Tzarech. We don't have to rely on this way of understanding where the tefillin Shabiyad should be put. Hareya Oimer, Vahay L'chal Ois, it should be put in a place where only you could see it and nowhere else. Where is that? On the upper part of the hand. If you'll put it on the palm, if you put the tefillin on the palm, everybody would see it. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Einu Tzorich, Harei Omer, V'samtem es dvar eila alavavchem ukshartem. Shtehei sima k'neged alev. The tefillin should be put next to the heart. So if you put the tefillin on the upper part of the hand, it's next to the heart. Interesting shaila that I saw. We know that most people, almost all people, have their heart on the left side. What will be the halacha if you have an individual who has a heart, it happens rarely, has the heart on the right side? On which hand should he put the tefillin? Should he put the tefillin on the right side, on the right hand, because it's next to his heart? Or should he put the tefillin on the left side, like we learned at the beginning of our shiur, the tefillin put on the left hand? The Paiskim say certainly you should put it on the left hand, because as we began, the right place is the left hand. Says the Gemara further, would be careful to put the tefillin facing the heart. Says the Gemara of Ashi, of Yosef Kamei Dameimer. He was sitting next to Dameimer. Have a tziri biyodei. He had some sort of a wound on his hand. Become mischazi tefillin. And therefore the tefillin were visible. That we just learned the tefillin should be put in a place where only you could see it, no one else. Amalei, so he said, what Torah means is the mokum l'chalais. The Torah doesn't mean that it should be put in a place that only you could see it. It has to be in such a place, but the fact that they're visible is not an issue. Itma, goyvish b'resh menolam. How do you know that the tefillin b'resh are put on the top of the head? The Tana Abonim. Bein enecha. The Torah, when it says bein enecha, means goyvish b'resh, on the top of the head. Says the Gemara, at the oimer zugavish b'roish, doesn't indeed mean the top of the head, or eina ela b'ena necha mamish, maybe means directly between the eyes. Answers the Gemara, namakan, the Torah regarding the tefillin uses the words b'ena necha, v'namala halon, the Torah teaches us that we have to be careful that if we lose a close relative, losesimu korcha b'ena necha l'meis, we shouldn't make a rip b'ena nechem, as was the chukas ha'anmim, mala halon, when the Torah speaks about loisasimu karcha, it means the garvish shabarosh on the on the top of the head, Mokum Shoyes Karcha, because that's the place where a bald spot is made, where hair grows. Afkan, it means Begardish al Barosh, on the top, Mokum Shoyes Karcha, a place that a bald spot can be made. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Rabbi Yehuda says a different way, how we know the tefillin should be put on the top of the head. On the Torah, because it ain't, we don't have to rely on this limud. Because on the Torah says, Hanach tefillin b'yad, the Torah teaches us to put tefillin shebiyad, and Hanach tefillin b'rosh, and the Torah tells us to put on tefillin shebiyad. Ma'ala halon, b'mokma roi b'tam b'nega achad, afkam b'mokma roi b'tam b'nega echad. Let me explain for a moment. We learn in Parashas Metzora. The Torah speaks about nigei basar, tzaras that come onto the skin of a person, and the Torah speaks about nigei sar, negam that come on a person's hair. What is the simen of nigei basar? If there's a discoloration, that the skin has a white color. What is the discoloration of nigei sar? That there's a yellow or greenish color in the hair. Now let's learn the Gemara again. Hanach malahalan. When the Torah says that we put on tefillin shebiyad, where do we put the tefillin? On the hand. The hand is a place where there's skin. So only one type of nega could be there. Negei basar, a white discoloration. B'mokam haroi litamei b'nega echot. It's a place that could have one type of nega. Afkan, so too when we put on the tefillin shebiyad, they should be put b'mokam haroi litamei b'nega echot, that only one nega could form there. Lefuke, says the Gemara, if the tefillin will be put between the eyes, lefuke benenecha, if we put the tefillin between the eyes, that's a place, dekabos vasar. There's skin over there, the place between the eyebrows, and the eyebrows, dekasar lovin, and on the skin, between the eyebrows, the nega would be white, and on the eyebrows, it would be sar tzov, it would be yellow. But the Torah wants, that it should be only one type in a place where only one type of nega is possible. On the hair, only one type of nega is possible. So it's a proof that the tefillin are put on the top of the hair. As we complete the sugyas of tefillin, beautiful vart that I saw, our Gemara is teaching us that the tefillin shebiyad should be put on the hand in a place where it's not visible, to the degree that many Rishonim feel that l'chatchila, a person should have the tefillin shebiyad always covered. They shouldn't be visible. The tefillin shebirosh, just the opposite. They have to be put, the goyve shebirosh we just finished learning, where it's all always visible. What is the lesson? So Mefarshim explained. There are two perspectives a person has to take in Avodas Hashem. There's one perspective, that a person should do everything batznei aleches. He should do things quietly, not for publicity, not for recognition. And there's another type of avoida, that a person should try to influence the people who he lives with and the people who he comes in contact with. Say to Mefarshim, those two perspectives are represented in the two tefillin that we wear. The tefillin shebiyad, l'chol l'ois, v'loy l'chem l'ois, has to be put in a place that nobody else could see. As the pasuk says, Hanistaris went Lashem. If we want to know that somebody's avoiders, L'shem Shemayim, is Nistaris. He does it quietly. And a person who does that, Hanistaris Lashem, somebody who does his avoider quietly, Lanu Levaneinu Aroilam, he'll have the schus that the Torah will remain by him and his children and by his generations forever. But there's also the concept of Vero Kalayma Aretz, as we learned, Kashem Hashem Nikra Alecha. So that's why we have the tefillin shebiyad and the tefillin shebirosh. But the Mefarshim also make the point, as we learned in the previous year, what is put on first? First the tefillin shebiyad are put on. First a person has to worry about himself and perfect himself. And after a person has come to that madrega, then he puts on the tefillin shebirosh to try to influence the rest of the world. We begin now the sugya of tzitzis. The next parak will discuss it, but our Gemara, the last piece of Gemara, already begins to discuss that, the issue of tzitzis. Says the Gemara, Abba tzitzis makvazuzu, shabbos mitzvah achas. We learned the machlokes in the Mishnah, between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shmuel, if the four mitzvahs the four tzitzis are one mitzvah or separate mitzvahs? Ask the Gemara, my benayu. So all the Rishonim ask the obvious question. What's the Gemara's kasha? It's a very obvious nafkamina. If a person has four tzitzis, has he been mekayim one mitzvah or four mitzvahs? Furthermore, if the person only has less than four tzitzis, what should he do? According to Bishmol, that every mitzvah is a separate mitzvah, he should put on what he has. According to the Rabbanan, that it's all one mitzvah, he certainly has only the mitzvah, he put on all four. Not only does he only have the mitzvah, he put on four, if he's not going to wear all four, he's going to end up wearing a beged that has four corners without tzitzis. So what's the Gemara's question? Therefore, I saw that the Rishonim, the Rajba already discusses this, and other Rishonim explain, that even according to Rabbi Shmuel, there is no question that a person who doesn't have four tzitzis should not wear tzitzis, only on three corners. No question about it. You have to wear tzitzis on all four corners. The question is, if you're wearing tzitzis on four corners, how many mitzvahs were you mekayim? Where the Tanakam says you mekayim one, and Shmuel says you mekayim four. But now that we've explained, based on the Rajba, that everybody agrees you must wear four tzitzis, so what is the practical nafkamina? Asked the Gemara. Amarav, and the Oneg Yontav and the Tshuvas goes a step further. Why does the Rajba explain Rabbi Shmuel that way? Says the Oneg Yontav, because even according to Rabbi Shmuel, that there are four mitzvahs, if you're only going to put on three tzitzis, you will mevatel mitzvahs asay. And certainly it's inappropriate to be mevatel mitzvahs asay. Om Rav Yosef, sadna betzitzis ikubinayu. The nafkamina is, if you have tzitzis that are made out of, we'll discuss this extensively in the next parak, that you have the beged, the garment made out of linen, and the tzitzis, the tchelis, has to be wool, yet the Torah says that that's permitted, even though it's shatness, as we'll learn. And let's say you only have three tzitzis. What should you do? According to Rabbi Shmuel, even according to the Rajba, you're supposed to have all four. Since you're mekayim a mitzvah with three, keep it. According to Rabbanan, it's shatness, because you only have a heter when you have all four. Another nafkamina, Rabbi Hanema, talis bals chamish ikbenayu. What will it be if you have a talis with five corners? So the way Rashi explains, according to Rabbi Shmuel, every corner has its own chiv. So if you have five, you'll have to put on all five. According to Rabbanan, you'll only put on four. There are other Rishonim that explain the Gemara differently, that according to Rabbi Shmuel, a five-cornered beged should have four tzitzis, and according to Rabbanan, it shouldn't have any tzitzis. Ravina Amar, the Rav Huna Ikubinai. The Nafkamina is what Rav Huna said. Dom Rav Huna, Hayoitz betalish enim tzuyatzis. If somebody walks out with a talis that doesn't have tzitzis, kilchosa, that doesn't have the proper shear of tzitzis and Shabbos, is chayiv chatos. Why? So, as the Rishonim explained, if you wear tzitzis, if you're wearing a beged, so that's the beged you're wearing, and it has tzitzis. But if you're wearing a beged that's not mechuyev in tzitzis, so then the tzitzis, two approaches in the Rishonim, are not bottled, don't become part of the beged, because they're not mechuyev in tzitzis. Or as Tosfos says, you're going to take off those tzitzis. Since you're going to take off those tzitzis, so that tzitzis become a masui, and you're not allowed to wear it on Shabbos. Which, based on this Gemara, there's a famous Mishnah Brura, says that specifically on Shabbos, a person has to be careful if he lives in a place where there is no Erev, if he wears tzitzis that are not large enough, so he's not Mekayim Mitzvah tzitzis, and it turns out that he's carrying, and he shouldn't wear such tzitzis. And all the Paiskim, Lechatchila, certainly agree with the Mishnah Brura. However, there are Paiskim, I saw the Netziv discusses this, the Marsham discusses this, that take an interesting approach. It really goes back to what we discussed, the Machloikus Rishonim. If we say Pshat is that the tzitzis don't become part of the beged, if the beged's not mechuyi b'tzitzis, the Mishnah Brura is very understandable. But if we say that the Vart is because you're going to remove those tzitzis and put them elsewhere, this person who's wearing tzitzis that are too small, he shouldn't be wearing such small tzitzis. But he is. He has no intention of removing those tzitzis, because in his mind, these are the tzitzis that he's going to be wearing. Then perhaps, if he wore them, and again, I'm not suggesting that he should, it wouldn't be considered that he's carrying. Says the Gemara further. Amar Shesh Breder of Edi. Hayman, the Batsrei, Hayman, the Batsrei Leglimi. somebody that turns over his, they cut off one of the corners of his beged, Hayman the batsri leglimei loyav leklum shavya talf balz chamish. So I saw two pshatim in this gemara, actually two opposite pshatim. One pshat is the person turned the four corner bag, made the beged into five corners, but we just finished learning that a five corner beged is still mechuyev in tzitzis, so you haven't accomplished anything. Another pshat is just the opposite. He started off with a three corner beged. A three corner beged is not mechuyev in tzitzis. So what do you do from three? He made into five. You haven't accomplished anything because not three is chayiv and not five is chayiv. Says the Gemara further. Hama Rav Mesharsha, high man that tsairi leglimei. If somebody turned over, folded over his beged, loyav loyklum. My tama, the command, the shari dami. It's considered, just because you tied it up, it's still considered like it's still with four corners. But tana nami, and we actually learned such a mishnah masech the kalim. Kol chamoises atzruus tahiris. If a keli has a hole in it, if the hole is the size that a pomegranate could fall out, the keli is not mekabel tuma. And if you make a knot, it's still tar. Chutz mishal abayim. Why chutz mishal abayim? I saw two pshatim. One pshat is because the abayim do rely on a knot, or the abayim knew how, the Arabs knew how to make such a strong knot that it won't open up. Amar avdimi menado, hayman de chayte leglimi. If somebody stitches up his beged, loyav loyklum. Im isa, the loy mi baylei, because if his intent was to cut it and make it smaller, he shouldn't have just stitched it, he should have cut it. Rashi says another pshat, let's say somebody stitches up his beged, so where should he put the tzitzis? On the place that's stitched or in the place if it was open? However, says the Gemara, we don't pass in that way. We don't follow the opinion of Yishmael. Says the Gemara, Ravina have a ka'ozla basri the ma'bar of Ashi, b'shabs to the rigla. Ravina was following ma'bar of Ashi on the Shabbos within 30 days of Yontif. That the halach is that the Shabbos, within 30 days of Yontif, we start learning the halachas of Yontif. If sekarne de chute, one of the corners of his tzitzis got detached, and he didn't tell him anything. Kadmote lebeise, only when he got home, Amalei mehasam ifsik. At that point, did it get torn? Amalei imarte mehasam. Had you told me in the middle of the street, mehasam shadate, I would have taken off my tzitzis right there. You didn't tell me, so I didn't know. Asked the Gemara, why would he do so? V'amamar gol kfar abri shadaychas leisei shabatayra. And as the Rishonim explain, in the times of Chazal, the tzitzis aren't like our tzitzis. We wear tzitzis. We wear the beged with tzitzis only because we want to be mekayim the mitzvahs. We're going to discuss it in the next parak. In those days, that was their garment. The typical garment they wore was a four-cornered garment with tzitzis on it. So if he would have to take off the garment, he would be left without any clothing in the street, which is covered a breeze. Me v'amamar gol kvar a breeze shadoiches loisei shabatayra. Says the Gemara, Tergmer Rav Bashra kamed Rav Kahana belav deloy sosor. Only by a derabbanan. But a deraisa doesn't, cover a breeze doesn't override. Vikadamri, the others say, Mahasim Amalei. He indeed told him while he was in the street that you need to take off your garment. Vamalei, to which he said, My datach, lemijdei, why are you telling me this? Because you think I have to take off my garment because it doesn't have tzitzis? And like we're learning, you're not allowed to wear a garment in the street on Shabbos that does that has tzitzis on it, that's not mechuyev tzitzis. V'amar, I don't have to do so because the halach is gol kavod abriyus shadaychus loisei shabatayra. Says the Gemara, v'atigmar b'shva kamed rav belav d'loy sosor. So why shouldn't he? And says the Gemara, hachnami kamos d'rabbanan. It was only a place that was a kamos, so it was only a question of a d'rabbanan, and that's why he said, even had you told me, there was no issue of a deraisa, and since there was no issue of a deraisa, that's why I could have gone home wearing the beged, even though it didn't have tzitzis on it. The question that the Mefarshim, that the Rishonim already asked, how could he say there was no deraisa involved? Yes, there was no deraisa of carrying, but he was being mevatel mitzvah sasei of tzitzis. That he was wearing a four-cornered beged, without tzitzis. That's a deraisa. So there's a very big chiddush in the Mordechai. The Mordechai says that on Shabbos, if you have a beged without tzitzis, you're not mechuyev to put tzitzis on it. Because there's only a chiyuv to put tzitzis when you can't put tzitzis. And since you can't put a tzitzis on Shabbos, there is no chiyuv to put tzitzis on such a beged. And the Paiskim use it for another question. Is a house mechuyev to have a mezuzah on Shabbos if it's missing a mezuzah? Same concept. Since you can't put a mezuzah on Shabbos, we learned Hilchos Mezuzah in this parak, there is no chiv to put a mezuzah on Shabbos. So therefore, the bitla, the mitzvah, say of tzitzis, wasn't a concern.